If you got your Bibles, I want you to turn your Bibles to Matthew, the fifth chapter. We do appreciate the pastor. We miss him, and amen. Just pray that God is the same God in Florida as he is in Hawkins County. Hello. Amen. I'm glad he is, ain't you?
Amen.
Stand to your feet if you would. I feel, amen, we should go before the Lord in prayer. I might do things a little bit different. I'm still getting used to Rogersville Baptist Temple, and there's nothing wrong with that. Amen. I'm a new kid on the block, so, but I tell you, he's the same God. I thought coming down the road, Brother Billy, he's the same God.
Right. Right.
Same God in McQuaidie, same God here.
Right.
Same God in Florida, same God here.
Right.
Amen. So, I think what happens is our anticipation sometimes affects the moving of God. The Bible said, Brother Brad, they was expecting to receive something of him. If we come expecting, I believe God will meet the need, don't you? Amen. Bow your heads if you would. Father, we come to you tonight in the name of Jesus. God, absolutely tonight, Lord, nothing without you tonight, God. God, we ask for your help tonight, Lord. I just ask, God, that you would touch tonight, Lord, the needs, God, of the people, Lord. We love you, God. We thank you for your salvation, Lord. We honor you this night, God. Move into service, God. Touch Brother Barry, God, where they're at, Lord, and minister there and move, God, and save, Lord. We'll give you praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray, and the church said,
Amen.
Matthew, the fifth chapter, we're going to read these verses here real quick, and we'll let you be seated. The 24th verse, this has been, I've got notes here where the pastor had preached this not too awful long ago and done an amazing job on it. But God laid this on our heart. I actually had something else prepared, but the Lord laid this on my heart this afternoon. And why, I don't know, but he does. So this is just, I'll give you what he gave me. Is that okay?
Amen.
Amen. That's all I can do is just give you what he gave me. So Matthew, the fifth chapter, the 24th verse, says, "And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman," I want you to take note of this, "a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years," we're verse 25, "and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was," did I say Matthew? Mark. Go to Mark. I'm sorry. That's the reason you keep flipping through your Bibles. I believe that would be Mark, church. Somebody should have spoke up and said, "Brother, you in the wrong place." I was in the right place. You was in the wrong place. Mark, let's start all over. Is that all right? Mark 5:24. Say amen if you found it. I done got warning tonight. I'll tell you that right now. My Cameron back there, he looked at me and grinned real big, and he went, "Don't you be too long now." Oh, Daddy, you ain't going to preach long tonight, are you? All right. Matthew, Mark. Why have I got Matthew on my mind? Mark 5:24. I better read this before I forget where I'm at. "Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him." Now you mark this. "And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years. And she had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, 'If I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole.' And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that the virtue had gone out of him, turned him about into the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest a multitude thronging thee, and thou sayest thou, Who touched me?" And he looked round about to see her and all that had been done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, notice what happened after that. She knew that Jesus had healed her. There was a great fear come over her. Listen to this. "And the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing that what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth." Notice what he says to her. "And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Amen. Now you can be seated. Remember now, that's Mark, the 5th chapter, the 24th verse. God got to dealing with me this sometime back. And this scripture came to me about this woman with the issue of blood. It starts off that it says a certain woman, distinguishing her as just another individual, a certain woman. No characterization there, no nothing. But I began to think about, Brother Silas, the circumstances that was in this woman's life. I listened as Brother Brad testified, and I thought about my wife. You know, if you're going to get Brother Barry over there, you better have a Hilton somewhere. Hello. Amen. A Hilton or another classy hope, whatever you want to call it, but if that had been my wife, she'd looked at me, and I can hear her right now, Brother Craig, saying, "I'm going to the house right now." Hello. But the circumstances that was in this woman's life. Now, there's no question in my mind that she had never met Jesus before, because the Bible says that when she heard. So we know that great words had no doubt went out about what this man named Jesus could do. So evidently it sparked something in her faith. She done spent all she had, and the Bible said, and you look at this, and I'm not against doctors, but I thought today as I was looking at this, I'll tell you this story in just a second, but it said that she grew worse. It said the doctors, basically, when you read this, it said the doctors made her worse. I began to think about this, Brother Silas, years ago, that I was having severe headaches. And I've always had neck trouble and back trouble ever since I was 10 or 11 years old. So I went to this neurologist in Kingsport, and he prescribed for me a medicine. And I remember taking that medicine for 3 days. And I thought my headaches was bad then. I mean, they were so bad I couldn't even walk. I mean, that was the worst headaches I had ever had in my life. So I began to look at what that prescription was, and this was when Prozac first came out. And that's what I was on, Prozac. So I called, and I tell you, I called the pharmacist, didn't even know nothing about it, and called the pharmacist to ask him what it was, and he said, "Well, it's for depression." And I tell you, I about went through the roof. I called the doctor up, and I said, "Listen, I can't take this stuff. I'm not taking it, this, that, and the other." And I said, "Listen, I'm not depressed. I've got bad headaches." So that lets me know that sometimes these doctors, you'll be worse off when you go see them what you was before you went to see them. But anyway, thank God I didn't take no more Prozac, and I'm still not on it. Amen. But listen, her circumstances was desperate. She had turned to every single means that she could turn to. Everything she could possibly do, amen, Brother Klepper, she done that. But she grew worse, so the circumstances was pretty bleak. She had no hope, amen, but to hear about somebody, amen, that was going to touch her life and that was going to change it, amen, and she put her hope and her trust in that. I wonder today, amen, church, what would it be if we really trusted the Lord the way that we should? Hello. I wonder, amen, I begin to think today about my life. We say we love God, but I tell you, I believe, Brother Silas, we could love God a lot more than what we say we do. I thought about that gentleman, Wayne, fine yesterday and laying there, unless God moves on his deathbed today. How many opportunities, Brother Silas and I had to talk to him. Come on, church. Amen. We've got a world that's lost, amen, and they're not only out there, they're right amongst us. A world that's lost and on their way to hell, and our concern is almost at level zero, but yet we love God. Hello. You see, the circumstances now may be too late, which I did talk to him a few weeks ago about the Lord after he had his heart attack. But I tell you, church, we're letting things slip by us, amen, that God has put right in front of us, and we go through life and we let that pass us by. Now, I'm preaching to myself, but we love God. Hello. Amen. I'm guilty, church. Listen, she was desperate. I tell you, desperate measures will bring desperate means. Come on. I looked at an individual one time, and he did give his life to the Lord finally, and I was standing there talking to him. He just had a real massive heart attack, and God no doubt had to bring him through that. Brother Silas, he was there in the truck, and I remember it like it was yesterday. He was going on with profanity and cussing and different things like that, and I looked at him dead in his eyes. I said, you know something? I said, if I was in a condition that you was in, I said, I wouldn't be cussing God. I'd be praying to him. Hello. I didn't hear another curse word come out of his mouth. Let me tell you, there's circumstances. There's going to be a day, church, that we're going to bow before him. And we're going to give an account for every single deed that we've done, whether it be good or whether it be bad. But here this lady was, 12 years. Nothing. Spent everything that she had. Tried all human remedies. Amen. She done every single thing, amen, that could possibly be done. But it didn't change. I begin to think today, amen, that it just an encounter with Christ. Her having an encounter, her just hearing about. Hadn't seen him before. But her just hearing about this man named Jesus came to the place and had such great faith that it was pinned down in the Word of God that if I could just but touch the hem of his garment, I know I'd be made whole. Didn't say she'd been to church. Didn't say nothing about her background. Oh, I'm telling you, church, he's able to touch tonight. Oh, we might sell him short, but I'm telling you, his arm's not too short that they cannot reach out and touch us or touch others if we'll let him do that. But she's got the circumstances. Listen, there was no great crowd following her. Think about this. Brother Silas, nobody encouraged her. The fact of the matter is, she wasn't even supposed to touch Jesus, let alone be around anybody else. But our mentality is, well, if this one would say this, or if this one would do this, or somebody needs to get behind. She didn't have nobody encouraging her. She was all by herself. Hello. Hey, listen, I believe we ought to encourage one another, but what are you going to do when somebody don't encourage you? Hello. What are you going to do when they won't help? David said, the Lord is the lifter of my head. If we'll look to the Lord, church, I'm going to tell you, he said, I'll never leave you. I tell you, it might seem like he's a million miles away, but if he can touch a woman tonight, amen, that had an issue of blood, how much more can he do for us sitting right here in the house of God? But are we looking to him? The Bible said she pressed her way. I thought of something somebody testified to the other night. She said, well, it don't matter to me what you think. And amen, that you're going to have to come to that mentality, church, if you want to get what you want from God. You're going to have to forget about everybody that's around you, who's in front of you, who's behind you, beside you, whatever. She, the Bible said she pressed her way through that crowd. Listen to me. You may offend people, amen, when you get to calling on him. Hello? Get to worshiping God. And amen, I've been in churches when you said amen, 99% of the church would turn around and look at you and see who's saying amen. I tell you, that's where we've come to. Listen, we're going to get what we need from God. We're going to call on him. We're going to have to recognize, amen, who he is and what he can do. I'm telling you, church, amen, you might sell him short tonight, but his power is still real. He's still capable. Amen, there's nothing that has enabled him. He's high and he's lifted up and he's seated at the right hand of the Father. Amen. And you know what? We have not because we ask not. Hello. That's the reason. Lord, I'm going to get in trouble, Brother Craig. You may have to scream out preach here in just a minute. But I'm going to tell you something tonight, church. If you really want to get down to what it boils down to, you know what stops us from getting what we need from God a lot of times? Pride. Pride. Come into the house of God and look around. Well, ain't nobody else doing nothing. They wasn't nobody else that I've ever read in the Word of God that ever said that if I can but just touch the hem of his garment. Sounds pretty simple, don't it? But I believe that in her effort to get through that crowd, she may have offended a few people. Hello. I gotta quote this. The Bible says you did run well, but who hindered you? I preached a message one time. It's not the what, but it's the who. Isn't it amazing that we'll come right into the church? I started to say the church of God because I was licensed through the church of God, not ashamed of it, but we are all of the living church of God, ain't we? We're his church. I tell you right now, Brother Brad, there's only one body.
Amen.
Come on. The Bible says there's only one body, one belief, one baptism. Oh, God, some of you are looking at me cross-eyed now. Is that not what it says? One body. One. Hello. Didn't say it's going to be Baptist over here and Pentecost over here and Church of God over here and Apostolic over here and Methodist. Didn't say that, church. Don't shout me down. One body. Listen. Lord, I'm shotgunning tonight. Let me get back on this camera and I won't be so long. So she had her circumstances. Then she had her crisis. Her crisis is that she had done every single thing that she thought was right. How many of you ever done the right thing and from all appearance sake, it looked like it was the wrong thing? I told somebody the other day, I said, right's right and wrong's wrong. Black's black and white's white, church. Ain't no other way you can put it. If we'll do the right thing, if we'll do what's right, the Bible said to follow peace and holiness with all men. Ain't that what it says? Without which no man shall see the Lord. Let me say this, I don't know why I'm getting off on it, but if we don't know how to treat one another right, if we do not know as people of God and say that we're people of God and we don't know how to treat each other right, how are we going to treat Him? I dare tell you right now that the Lord never turned no one away that called on Him. You'll not find nowhere in the Word of God where anybody ever called upon the Lord that He didn't meet their need. You ever thought of that? Know that He wouldn't come back and even thank them. Know that they followed Him for the fishes and the loaves, but still yet He met that need.
That's right.
If we tonight, church, be the sons of God, and that's what the Bible says we are, you're not bastards tonight, you're sons of the children of the Most High God. If that's what we are, how much more will God, amen, do for us when we ask Him? The Bible said, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more does a heavenly Father? How much more does He know? Amen. Is He able tonight? I said a while ago, if He was able to meet this woman with the issue of blood that was an outcast that nobody wanted to be around, if He's a big enough God to meet that need, I tell you tonight, church, He's a big enough God to meet your need.
Amen.
Brother James, you might ought to turn this microphone down. They're looking at me a little squinch-eyed. I can get loud, brother. I told Brother Silas, I don't even need this thing. My kids can shout on that one. Listen, the crisis. But let me ask you a question tonight, church. How many issues do we have? How many issues? Oh, we think of just the issue of blood, but I'm telling you, whether you like it or not, we bring a lot of issues, amen, on our back when we come to the house of God. Come on. Our attitude. Hello. The way we approach. I've watched these television preachers that they talk the big talk, you know, and they act like when they stand before God, they're going to tell God this and they're going to tell God that. No, you're not.
Right.
You'll stand there, amen, if you can stand long enough to where you fall flat on your face and you're going to be trembling. You're not going to tell God what a mighty giant you was or anything like that. He's the only one. Anytime, and you remember what I'm telling you this, and I don't know why I'm saying this, but anytime anybody, I don't care who it is, tries to divert attention to themselves, amen, they have done miss God.
Amen.
Let's look here. The issues. The issues and the crisis that she had run into is that the crowd, no doubt, was too great. Think about it. The crowd. I believe, Brother Brad, she had to get down on her hands and knees and crawl. She had to get down pretty low, church, to touch the hem of His garment. I mean, that's just whatever you want to call it. You've got to get down pretty low to do that. The crowd was too great. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in My name, that he would be right in the midst, didn't he?
Right.
And we'll come to church. I'm just going to be honest with you. This is our mentality sometimes. The Lord will tell us to either stand or whatever, or raise your hands and praise the Lord, and we'll look around, and the first thing we'll say, well, nobody else has done it. Hello, is that the truth?
Right.
Brother Barry told me the other day, standing right here, he said, brother, he said, I almost took off running. I said, the only thing stopped you, brother, was your pride. He looked at me and started laughing. He said, that's the truth. I said, you run, I'll run. I'll be right behind you, brother. Come on, what stops, what issues, church, is stopping us, amen, from doing what God bids us to do? I'm going to tell you, the Holy Ghost is the perfect gentleman. You'll approach him that way. He may speak to you one time, and you'll think, well, if old Brother Ivan over there scratch his head, God, I don't know it's you. He may not let that happen. Now, I'm still going to get in trouble. He said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they shall not follow. If we know the voice of God, what do we need Brother Ivan to scratch his head for? But nobody else has done it. Nobody else was pressing their way through the crowd and touching the hem of his garment, but something sparked in this lady to do that. Boy, that's odd. I'm going to tell you something. Don't you go out here and say, I said God done some crazy things. But I tell you, the Lord told them to do some strange stuff. Hello? Jesus spit in the mud. That's strange. Hello? That's strange to us, isn't it? This lady crawled or got down on her hands and knees, whatever she did, and touched the hem. That's kind of strange. And the fact of the matter is, what's even stranger is he didn't even know who it was. Ain't that what he asked? He said, who touched me? She might have been down there so far, Brother Silas, he couldn't even see her. I don't know what the situation was, but he asked a question. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying if she can touch him, we can touch him too. Hello. Hey, listen, we've got a greater thing than the Catholic Church has got down here, don't we? Hello. I've got a high priest, amen, that far exceeds that. Amen, that's seated on the right hand of the Father. That's all I've got to do is call on his name. And when I call on his name, Brother Brad, he said he'd be there.
Right.
Well, preacher, you don't know what I'm facing. You know what? You don't know what I'm facing either. But there's a God tonight that does. And your circumstances and your crisis, the next thing I'm going to deal with is the cure, and it'll be the last thing, the cure. The circumstance, the crisis, and the cure. Listen, he asked the question, who touched me? Now imagine these disciples. Hundreds of people, a multitude gathered as he walked, reaching out. You think she was the only person that touched him that day? The disciples said, Lord, you see all these people thronging thee, and you're asking us who touched you? That's what they said. Is that not what it says? You're asking us who touched you with all these people around. He said, no, but somebody touched me, and I felt the very power. That's what that word virtue means, is power, is strength. It went out of me. Then he looks at this lady that started out, and I like this part, as a certain woman. Brother Brad, he changes it. And her being fearful looked at her, and he said, daughter. So she went from a certain woman. if that don't light your fire, son, your wood's wet. I feel the Holy Ghost. She went from being a certain woman. I'm telling you, you went from being a certain individual or certain somebody, but when you called out on that name, amen, you ain't no longer a certain Silas. You're Silas, amen, the son of the Most High Living God tonight, church. I tell you what we need to do. Brother Tim, we need to realize who we are in God. Cameron was giving a bath one day, and he was asking for this game or something. I don't know what it was. Wanted me to buy it for him. Now, I'd done planned on buying it for him, Chuck, and hadn't told him. I said, son, you don't need that. That's what I tell you, you don't need that. My kids are spoiled rotten. Amen, Sister Fultz. And she is too. Amen, Logan. All right. I said, you don't need that. So he starts crying. You know, them little whiny, whatever you want to call it, little bitty tears rolling down there. I walked out of the bathroom, and Logan was in there. He looked over at Logan. That's how you do it. That's, he knows. But see, that daddy doesn't plan on buying it. What are you saying that for? I'm telling you, Brother Brad, there's something changes when it becomes your own. I told the church when I pastored, I said, listen, your kids tear my nerves all to pieces. But my kids do too. Hello. Hello, church. I'm just being honest with you. But there's something changes when she goes from a certain woman. And I don't have time to go through all this, church. I'm gonna hurry. I am hurrying, I promise you. But she went from being a certain woman to a daughter. Before he looked at her, fear came over her. You mean we can be touched by God and still be afraid? Oh, yeah, you can. But perfect love cast out what? Fear. Perfect love cast out fear. She wasn't afraid no more. Daughter, thy faith had made thee. So what's the cure tonight, church? Can I tell you this in closing? It's not enough to know about God. Listen to what I'm telling you. Because the Bible says the devil knows that there's a God and he fears and trembles at that very name. Somebody say, preacher, what do we need to do? I tell you what we need to do. We need to call on him, church. And when we call on him and recognize him for who he is, and I may get in trouble with this, Brother Brad, but who he is and not what we think he should be.
Right.
Hello?
Amen.
Well, I'll know he's God if he does this. And I know he's God if he does that. What if he don't do it? Oh, Lord God. What if he don't raise you off of your deathbed? Don't change him, church. Let me say this in closing. Brother Silas, I don't know how you want to do this, but My mother was dying with cancer. And I knew that she was going to die. And I walked over there, Brother Ivan. I built a house right beside of her. I walked over there, Brother Brad, one day, and I began to talk to her. She'd raised us kids in a Christian home. I don't even want to go through what my father put her through. But I looked at her, and her knowing that she was dying, I said, Mom, she began to tell me that she'd looked at the doctor's reports. I don't know if any of you ever do that. When the doctor leaves, you grab them reports and you start reading them. I do that, and I can't even tell what they say. But that she knew that cancer had spread in her body. Brother Tim, I looked at her and I said, are you afraid? Listen, you don't know. We say, well, we can relate to that. Well, no, you cannot relate to that, church, until you're there. I've not had a death sentence issued on me. I don't know what it's like. I said, are you afraid? Brother Chuck, I'll never forget what she looked at me, and she never said a word. She just went. But somewhere down through the span of about a month, I was sitting over there again. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I looked at her. I said, Mom, are you afraid? I'll never forget that look. She looked at me. There's a peace of God that God puts on the inside of us or instills in us, church. Hello. He's able. And he, you listen to this, and I'm closing. He was her God. And she knew she was dying. Hello? Why are you saying that, preacher? I'm telling you, there's going to come a time that there's going to be a test. Come on, it's easy when all church is going good and everything's going good in your life. But I tell you, when the bottom falls out from under it, what's going to happen? Amen. How are you going to stand then? Very good, brother. Amen. You want to stand to your feet if you would.